Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be hearing from former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle shortly as he joins us for this week's League of Ireland Premier Division chat. On the Gaelic Games front, the Alliance National Football League start this weekend for the three North West counties. We'll be hearing from Donegal manager Declan Bonner, the new boss in charge of Tyrone Fergal Logan, and Derry manager Rory Gallagher. While Donegal Motor Club chairman Brian Brogan will also pay tribute to international rally clerk of the course Danny Gormley, who sadly passed away earlier this week. We're going to start with soccer. I'm sure as you heard on Highland earlier today, Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan has hit out at the FAI after being handed a 3-game suspension. He's set to miss the upcoming matches against Dundalk tomorrow, followed by Drogheda and Waterford, after sending off in the defeat to Shamrock Rovers. Horgan was sent to the stands for questioning why referee Rob Hennessy reversed a free kick against his side. Speaking exclusively to Highland Radio Sport at lunchtime, Ollie said managers should be able to engage with officials about decisions during games.
Wonderful news. I think we've gone to a stage where you kind of question any decision from the referee, and we still haven't got a reason why a free kick was reversed and why there was a sending off. That's the sour taste in it. I think it's now a zero tolerance, and I've no problem going and saying this. It's gone to the stage where you're not allowed to question anything. There's no foul and abusive language. There's no jumping around. We're entitled to question as manager or coach of a team why a decision was reversed that caused a defeat against Shamrock Rovers. I've questioned it. It's totally and utterly within my right. The disappointing part is the officials refuse to speak and explain afterwards. And it's not good enough. Maybe it's not good enough for me in years gone by, but certainly against Shamrock Rovers, I was fully and absolutely entitled to question a decision for a referee that refused to speak before, during and after. And on their behalf, it's not good enough.
Well, I'm sure the FAI will have taken all that on board, Ollie. Did you get a chance to make those?
They took it on board and gave you 3 matches of suspension. Mm. To be fair, the case they put up, and I've no problem going public on it, was that I insulted the referee by calling at him. I'm not quite sure what tolerance levels they have, but if I want to insult somebody, it'll be a hell of a lot more than questioning why it was a free kick, you know, reversed. Yeah, there's history there from his game against Shamrock Rovers where he gave 3 penalties, and I did refer to it, you know, from before. I'm totally entitled to it. You know, I'm hugely annoyed at the fact of the official, who's a good fella. You know, I've spoken about this time and time again, and I've no problem going public here, and you're probably smiling, thinking that, Jesus, this is a great coup here, but it's not good enough on their behalf. It wasn't good enough for us in years gone by, where there was foul and abusive language. Yes, there was jumping around in the dugout. None of that has happened, and none of that happened against Shamrock Rovers, and yet I get a 3-match ban. That official was out the following week, refereeing a game on television, which I was at. Not good enough.
Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan, who is not at all happy following his 3-match suspension handed down by the FAI. Well, Harps, of course, are in action tomorrow evening against Dundalk at Finn Park. It kicks off at 5:45. We will have live coverage from that game. It'll be regular block updates from the first half with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle, and then we'll have the rest of the game after the 7 o'clock news live right through until the full-time whistle. Among the other games this weekend as well, Derry City are on the road taking on Shamrock Rovers. This week in our League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Harps captain Declan Boyle to speak about those games. We'll also hear about his appointment as Sligo Rovers under-19 manager. But of course, first up is the debate today about Ollie Horgan, the FAI, and that 3-game suspension. Both the big talking point as we speak now this Thursday afternoon is the comments made by Ollie Horgan, where he has once again questioned the disciplinary of the FAA. He's been hit with a 3-match ban, 5 yellow cards and the sending off against Shamrock Rovers. But what Ollie has come out about is that there needs to be better engagement with officials. And he has questioned the role of the official now that a manager cannot come and actually question an official about a decision which has been reversed. Is Anna Rate Ollie Horgan in a right position to do that in your mind, Declan?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. Obviously, the history that Ollie has with officials going back from he started off in Harps, it wouldn't be good. I know he's a good working relationship in regards to them off the pitch, and it's just for that 95 minutes on the pitch, it can be quite volatile. And the fourth official gets, I suppose, he gets a red ears from, you know, Wally obviously on his case a wee bit. And it's getting to that stage now, I suppose, where maybe he's right in some sense in regards to that maybe you can't say anything to officials, especially the fourth officials, because they're acting very quickly and they're throwing out yellow cards very swiftly. And that's obviously a problem for Ollie, because Ollie seems to be gets into a lot of trouble with the fourth officials and the referee. But yeah, listen, and maybe if that's the case, if there is less tolerance that's been handed out to the officials, maybe that Ollie needs to change his attitude and say very little on the pitch. Because for me, I believe that if you're paying all your attention toward the fourth official, the referee, you're not watching the match.
Yeah, you were there that night that Rob Hennessy sent off Ollie Horgan, and you were there when the decision was made and then they reversed it. He has a good case, but Declan.
Absolutely. I mean, we were doing live commentary that night, Oisin and Sheriff in German, and we actually talked about it on that, because on that incident, there was a free, referee blew the free, and he pointed towards a Harps free, which is pointed towards the Shamrock Rovers goals. And there was a player received treatment, and after that, he changed the direction of the free and gave it to Shamrock Rovers. And then from the resulting free kick, Mark McGinley came and disappointedly he dropped one, and they scored from it. Rory Gaffney scored and put it into an empty net. And that was the difference. And, you know, and then there's another free afterwards. So that kind of spilled on. There's obviously a wee bit of verbals between Ollie and the referee and the fourth officials, and that kind of started it off. And then there's another free given afterwards, which was probably a wee bit questionable as well. And Ollie got into the ear of the fourth official, and then obviously Rob Hennessy, the referee, came over and gave him a red card. So, I mean, that, you know, one spilled into the other, and then obviously accumulated with Shamrock Rovers scoring the goal there out of the free kick. And you can understand the frustration of that one for sure, but there has been moments throughout the season where he's got yellow cards, and he just needs to be a bit more disciplined, and he's going to have to start doing that, otherwise he's going to get more yellow cards and more red cards, and that's what you don't want to see. You need Ollie on the line. He's manager of the club, and you know, he needs to be setting a good example to the players in the pitch.
Yeah, that is one side of it, Declan, and maybe Ollie needs to tone down slightly on the line. But Ollie's point is here, there was absolutely no dialogue or no reasoning from the match official afterwards. And given a reason why he went back on his decision, that's what Ollie's sticking point is here. Should there be more dialogue? Should there be more conversation, communication between match officials and managers after games explaining situations like this when they arise?
Yeah, I think Ollie's right on that point for sure. You would like sometimes, even after the heat of battle's on, and maybe after, you know, when everybody settles down and everybody goes and gets changed and have the showers, then maybe there's an opportunity when people are a bit more calmer to sit down and have that conversation. And I think it's important that referees are professional enough to sit down and have a conversation with managers if they're not happy about things and just explain the case. And, you know, just that's all it is, because you know, as managers, you can make mistakes on the line. You can say things you don't mean to say in the heat of battle. But also referees can make mistakes as well on the pitch. And that needs to be sometimes, you know, I would love for a referee to come in afterwards and say, sorry, I made a mistake. And then you go, that's okay. That's no problem. We all make mistakes. And you just carry on from there, you know. So I do understand the frustration. I think it's probably something that the FAI need to look at and the Referee Association needs to look at. I do believe that for having a good working relationship with the managers in the league, you do need to have that conversation with people. Or if it's a matter of ringing up Ollie the next day and explain your case to him, things are settled down a wee bit. I would love to see that conversation being available for managers to go and speak in a respectful way to the officials after the match is over and maybe everybody's calmed down a wee bit.
Yeah, and for the officials probably to speak to managers in a respectable way as well, Declan. Right, we're going to park that and move it aside. Bohemians last week, the performance, particularly in the first half, wasn't good from Finn Harps. Dundalk are the visitors on Friday night to Finn Park. The first thing, Ollie, who won't be on the line tomorrow, it'll be Paul Higgerty be in charge, but Higgsy and Ollie will be looking for the first thing as a better performance at home.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, after getting a really positive result against Derry, then to go up to Daly Mount, and we know it was difficult, and Bows have the players that can hurt you for sure, but they've been going through a bad form, similar to Dundalk. But you, as you say, like, to lose three goals in the first half up in Daly Mount is disappointing. We just didn't defend well collectively and individual errors as well, and that's been the difference. So I mean, Dundalk were the same. They're not going particularly well. Sligo beat them in Oriel Park last week with a 1-0 victory. And even though Sligo were down to 10 men for a large portion of the game after Gary Buckley was sent off, they didn't really create that much. And they have the players that can hurt you. But at the moment, they're misfiring, and they're just not playing to the level they need to play at. So it's an interesting game. Obviously, if Harps can, at home, they're at home, they need to be starting off very well, get off to a good start, but you cannot give away silly opportunities and defend as poor as you did in Daly Mount. If you do that, Dundalk will beat you. But, you know, Harps' performances have been good. Sometimes it's difficult because, you know, you played Friday, you played Derry then on a Monday, and then you went to Daly Mount, and that's difficult for part-time players. You know, you're not much rest. So, you know, they have a bit more rest. They're back into it, and their home form has been, you know, home form has been, I suppose, good in patches, but more importantly, the performances have been good in Fulham Park. They played very well. They're well organised, and that's what they're going to have to do tomorrow night. And if they have to get anything out of the game, and if they can score first, I suspect them at least to get a draw.
Yeah, the game goes ahead. There was, of course, the COVID worry within the Dundalk camp earlier this week when they decided to go off in a team bonding session in Belfast. But everything has come back negative, so it's all clear for the match. But that's far from ideal preparation that the Dundalk management would have wanted, Declan.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things happening up there that haven't been good since the start of the season, and just a lack of leadership. There's obviously no management structure in place as such. So that needs to be addressed as quickly as possible as well. But yeah, listen, I know you can understand a wee bit what the players are trying to do. They're trying to probably to pick a wee bit of team morale and team boost by doing something as a sociable group and going out together. But you just can't do it nowadays. And then up to, obviously, Belfast on a night out, I think a full squad of players minus four players, potentially. So you're looking at 16 or 18 players, I'm guessing, those up there. So that's a lot. And the conditions that's happening with COVID guidelines and inter-county, you know, I know that changed on Monday, but this was a Sunday, so it was the day before. So it just raises the profile. It highlights deficiencies within what's happening in Dundalk, and it just adds extra pressure to the club, to the players. And, I mean, the supporters are not happy. They're due to play Shamrock Rovers next week in Oriel Park, and there's supposed to be a supporters are arranging a protest there. So that just shows you, very similar to Man United, where the fans weren't happy. So hopefully it'll not go to that level. But there's a lot of unrest in there, and performances haven't been good on the pitch, and that's obviously to the core of why people are unhappy.
Yeah, but this is a game that Harps will think, yeah, we can get something out of. They went, of course, to Oriel Park and they won. And certainly 3 points against the Lilywhites, the former Kingpins, we can call them at this stage of Premier Division football, would be a huge boost as you were to go into games then against the likes of Drogheda, Waterford, and I think Sligo then after that, Declan.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, there's no easy games, Oisin, in the league, but, you know, this is a good time to play Dundalk. A really good time. They're not firing. They have four or five injuries to key players, which, you know, obviously helps your case in regards to getting 3 points from them. That performances haven't been good. They've brought in a lot of players this year, Oisin, and they just haven't bettered in, and that takes a wee bit of time. They've lost a lot of players too, as well, and it's just been, you know, very unsettling for them. But listen, it's a perfect time to play them, I think, you know. But we're going really well as well. Obviously disappointing against Bows, but at home our performances have been excellent, and I'm expecting the same again. And yeah, it's a hard game for both clubs, but can we get 3 points? Absolutely. And worst case scenario, let's try to get a draw. But it'd be nice to get 3 points to bring you into, as you say, the so-called easier games. But if there is such a thing with the Drogheda and whatever coming after that, and especially another home game against Drogheda as well. So, yeah, absolutely. Big week. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good game.
Yeah, Derry City are going to Shamrock Rovers on Saturday evening. 6 o'clock kickoff at the Talis Stadium. How much of an ask is it for Derry to get something out of this one, Declan?
Yeah, it's a big ask, isn't it? And I thought that, you know, They scored late on, obviously, against Longford, and disappointing 1-1 draw, and you're expecting them to turn them over after the two positive results they had against Sligo Rovers and Bowes away. So, yeah, listen, so they need to do something, obviously, but it's a big ask. I Shamrock Rovers, who are not, they're playing well without being really penetrating too much. They're not scoring a lot of goals, but they're scoring late goals. They scored another late one at the weekend against St. Pat's. Danny Mandrew scored a late goal, good solo run down the right-hand side, and he stuck it in behind in low and below the keeper's legs. And yeah, so they've done that four or five times. So they just know how to win games. I don't expect to see anything different. I know that obviously Rory will probably set them up to have a low block and to be hard to play against. But I think they've just channeled over too much quality. And I expect them to beat Derry City, but probably might be close enough, 2-0 or 1-0.
Just a note on a young Donegal man that signed a lengthy contract in League of Ireland terms with Derry this week. He celebrated his 20th birthday by putting pen to paper on a new deal. That's young Ronan Boyce from Remelton. Obviously, Derry think a lot of this young man, so they do with the length of the contract they've given him, Declan.
Yeah, and he's done really well, and he deserves that. You know, I've seen him in obviously the live games, in the Brandywell, and he just fitted in there like a glove, and looks as if he's been playing for a long time. Very comfortable in the right back position. Obviously, scored a goal as well, against Waterford, I think it was. So he's been done really well, and the club have put faith in youth this year, and they're giving young lads an opportunity, and this is a prime example, and they've rewarded Ronan with a long-term contract, 3.5 years, which doesn't happen too often in the League of Ireland. And it's great to see the club committing and giving the young players that opportunity. And, you know, that's a long-term career, hopefully, for him with Derry City. And we wish him well, and he deserves that long-term contract.
The other games this weekend, Drogheda against St. Patrick's Athletic, Longford Town against Bohemians. Sligo's match with Waterford has been called off due to the ongoing COVID situation in Waterford. They played their 19s last week and they got a bit of a hammering. Mark Burcham, former first team coach with Ian Holloway, wasn't it, at Queen's Park Rangers, is in charge now at Waterford. Burcham's got a big job down there in Waterford if he's going to turn things around, because it's a bit all over the place at the minute at the RSC, Declan.
It is. And, you know, if you look back at it, when Kevin Sheedy was there as manager, and there were rumours that they were sacked, and Mike Newell was there, and then they were reinstated again. And it's just been a difficult time. Obviously, they're trying to get a wee bit of normality back in, and they've announced, obviously, Mark Burcham to come in very quickly after two manager left the last time. So, yeah, and then the COVID kicked in the middle of that. So they played the 19 squad against Drogheda, and we're comfortably beaten by Drogheda on the day. 6-0, was it? And so, difficult one, because the 19s are just back training now. If it was, you know, 2 or 3 months later, where they're a wee bit fitter, so you're asking 19s to step in to play against first team players that are who are not fully fit. So it's a big ask for them, and you could potentially understand why Waterford have withdrawn from this game and have given 3 points and a 3-0 victory to Sligo Rovers. That were obviously, this was 3 big points for them, and obviously they'll have all their players back for their next match. So that's an interesting one to see. But yeah, you're right, what a job he has to do, because they're down near the bottom. Obviously, they haven't got too many points. They have the players, they were improving, and they're a very young squad, but they probably need a wee bit more. And I would say he'd be looking to maybe add a few players with a wee bit of experience to that squad in July when the transfer window opens, and that'll probably be what he's wishing for, and maybe put players from England across to obviously add a wee bit of experience and maybe a bit more technical ability in the top half of the pitch, because they've not scored many goals.
Yeah. Just finally in the Declan, Sligo Rovers under 19s. You kept it quiet. It was announced this week that you have taken up the managerial role there. Back into management, you had a successful period at underage with Finn Harps. You've decided to take charge of the Sligo team now. Tell us about that move, Declan.
Yeah, listen, obviously Brian Dorian, or as everybody knows him as Dinky, he was the under 19 manager up in Sligo Rovers, and he got a new position within the FAI, and he'll be working with the young elite players in Donegal. So we wish him well in that one, and Brian's been involved in soccer a long time, so he's got great experience. So I'm delighted to see him get the opportunity. So there was a vacancy obviously up there, and I was lucky enough to get the job as 19, so I'm looking forward to it. I've been out of the game now 2 years. I suppose from that perspective, I've got a wee bit of energy back into it, and I'm looking forward to the challenge ahead. Sligo, you know, they have a lot of good structures in place. Liam Buckley has a lot of faith in young players coming through, and they have five young lads that are part of the, you know, first team since I was manager of Van Harp, so I played against them coming through, and they're established players. So they're given that opportunity, and that's key for me in regards to the player development and giving young players the opportunity to go and play at that level. So it's great to see that pathway, and looking forward to the challenge. It suits me as well, actually, because I work down in Carrigan-Shannon, so it suits me travelling through. So I just train obviously in the evening time and then go on home to my Charlotte. So it suits me. But yeah, listen, I really enjoyed my time at Van Harps. I had great memories. Obviously, we won the double with the under-17s in 2018, which was a great success. Now it's just something different, and I'm looking forward to the challenge with working with the under-19 team, just like Rovers.
Yeah, I know you're just on the door and you had one or two training sessions at this stage with them, Declan, but what's going to be deemed as success in your managerial role with them?
Yeah, well, success for that role, I suppose, up there. I mean, Conor O'Grady is the academy manager up there, and he's full time, and it's great having his experience there as well alongside us. But so success for us would be that young players are getting into the first team, and that's what they're based on. It's not about winning trophies, it's about under-19 players and Sligo-based players playing in the first team regularly and staying there long-term, and that's what's considered successful, so which is great, and that's what I'm on into. I want to work with the best players. I want to improve them. I want to come into the first team, but I want them to have longevity in their career and play in League of Ireland for the next 10 or 15 years.
Declan, we wish you all the best with your new position as Sligo Rovers under-19 manager. Thanks for joining us once again on the League of Ireland Talk. And we'll have more from you, of course, with Dermot and Colcom on that Dundalk game on Friday night. Thanks, Declan.
Thanks, Oisín. Thanks, man, guys.
Moving on now to Gaelic games. The action this coming weekend will be starting with the Donegal Hurlers on Saturday afternoon. Mickey McCann's side will be making the trip to the Christy Ring Champions Kildare. That game is due to start at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Donegal, of course, go into the game off the back of that victory last week against Roscommon to get their first points on the board in what was their opening match. Ahead of the season, Mickey told us, of course, that he would be targeting two home wins, and that should be enough for Donegal to stay up. But this is their first away fixture, and then to come next Sunday, they've got Mayo at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Kildare will be seen as raging hot favourites for this one, but Donegal will be looking to go down and put up a good, strong performance against the Lily Whites there. But taking centre stage this weekend is, of course, the National Football League as the 2021 competition gets up and running. Our feature match this weekend comes from Hayley Park in Omagh on Saturday evening. 5 o'clock is the throw-in time, and it's a Northwest derby to start things off in Division 1 North, Tyrone up against Donegal. It's very much a condensed quick-fire format this season, with the championship, of course, set to come in late June for Donegal. Tyrone, of course, start in early July. A lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation now ahead of the new season. Coming up shortly, we'll hear from Tyrone manager Fergal Logan, but this week I've been, first of all, speaking to the Donegal boss, Declan Bonner. So Declan, brand new season upon us, Tyrone, the opening game in the National League. Before we look at that, I don't want to dwell on 2020, but how much is what happened last year now going to be a driving factor on what 2021 is going to be for you?
Listen, you know, it's finished. 2020 finished disappointing. There's no doubt about that there. Oisín, we had our debrief shortly after, maybe 10 days after that there. And we've got to take the learnings from that there. Under they get Kevin deserved to own it, but we moved on, to be quite honest. And we're looking forward now to 2021, and we've been back over the last 3 weeks, and I've seen the lads have been training really, really well, and looking forward now to first match on Saturday night.
How big a year is this for Donegal football, Declan?
Every year is big, there's no doubt about it. Every year is that, you know, the last 2020 was really challenging with COVID, and it's going to be no different this year. It's not, you know, the championships of, say, I've come back in 2018, 2019, where you had no spectators, you had big crowds at National League games, also championship matches. There's going to be no spectators. It's going to be the same for all teams. But it's just great to get back in playing. And as I say, the league's coming. We haven't much time to prepare. It's been a very short running. As I say, we'll have a fair day Saturday night now where a lot of lads are at, and we're going to have to use this in terms of getting ready for championship, which is only 6-7 weeks away now at this stage.
Yeah, short running. How much of a hindrance is that, Declan, given that you're trying to get players to their max with a game coming in such a short period of time?
Well, I think there's no point dwelling too much, but I mean, I didn't see any reason why we could not have got back in a couple of weeks earlier. I think, you know, at this level now, and these guys are more or less professional athletes in terms of how to look after themselves and how to prepare. We probably should have been back a number of weeks earlier, because it takes that 5-6 weeks to get ready, to get lads up to speed after coming back on the pitch. And, you know, we've got to watch in terms of injuries and, you know, got to be careful around that. And as I say, it's just basically 3 weeks to get ready. And but as I said, it's the same for all teams. But Saturday evening is the start of our competitive season. And as I say, we're really looking forward to it. No better match to get started in a local derby against our Northwest rivals.
Yeah. Can you tell us maybe how things are panning out squad-wise for you and injury-wise ahead of the game? Because obviously it's a concern as you head into a new season, Declan.
It is, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, there are a number of guys, you know, recovering from soft tissue injuries, and that's natural. I've just come back onto the pitch for the first time in about 6-7 months collectively as a group. We'll monitor them now, over the next 24, 48 hours, a couple of sessions to go. And we'll not be taking any risks with any players. Some people are just finding their feet coming back into it. But we're really, as I say, we will have a squad of players ready for action on Saturday night. And as I say, probably over the next 3 to 4 weeks, you'll see a fair number of lads being used in the league as we build up towards championship.
Yeah, so you're going to have a big rotation policy then, Declan, ahead of the end of June time?
I'm not going to say it's going to be a big rotation policy, but we're going to look at lads that we need to do, get up to speed, and we'll see where the guys are at. It's still important. The league's very, very important to us. And it is a mini also championship this year. And that also, you know, is far from ideal, but it's the hand we've been dealt with, so we've got to get on with it. So, but there's going to be really competitive matches starting to say on Saturday with Tyrone, and then with Monaghan and Armagh all in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. How important then is the league in your eyes, Declan?
Well, the league's been important. We've always treated the league important, Oisín. It's not the same. You know, last year we had finished our, I think it was our fifth match against Monaghan when lockdown happened and COVID. So by the time we got back in, it was behind closed doors, really. And you had your those years in the past. You had your McKenna Cup. You would play your three games McKenna Cup, 6 weeks training, 3 weeks McKenna Cup to get ready for a National League campaign, and then you played your National League, and then you had that break of six to eight weeks going into the championship. So you don't have that this year. You have no McKenna Cup. You have no games to prepare. You're straight in basically at the deep end now at the weekend. And as I say, we'll know more about these players where they're at now on Saturday evening. And then, as I say, it's game on week in, week out, and 1 week off, I think, at the end of the league going into the championship. So it's going to be very, very condensed, Oisín. But it's something we're looking forward to. And I think the Donegal spectators and sports supporters are really looking forward to it also. It'd be great for those to sit down on a Saturday evening and watch that game. And it takes away a bit from the doom and gloom that's out there at the minute.
Yeah, just before we mention Tyrone, do you feel it's unfair maybe in Donegal that you have just one home game in this shortened league format, given what has happened in other counties and caught with breaches?
Yeah, listen, Oisín, it is what it is. Is it ideal? It's not ideal, but are we living in an ideal world at the minute? We're not. It is what it is. As I say, we're just happy we can, it's out of our control, all of those things. So we can only control what's in front of us now, and that's the next training session. And we look forward to that. And as I say, we build towards the match the weekend.
Is it going to be a rejuvenated Tyrone team that's going to come to the pitch on Saturday night? There is change, of course, there. The likes of Cal McShane's back. And they have that new management as well. Is Tyrone going to be a different force to what you met in the championship last year, Declan?
Well, it's going to be probably different from a number of point of views. You know, you won't have Mickey on the sideline, who's been manning the sideline for a long time. You have new management coming in. It's going to be definitely an element of freshness, no doubt about that there. Tyrone, they're still one of the top teams in the country. There's no doubt about that there. And it should be a really good competitive Northwest match on Saturday evening. And definitely, those games are highly competitive, played even though there's going to be no spectators there. It's going to be highly competitive, and it's going to be fierce tussle between two good teams.
Declan Bunner ahead of Tyrone against Donegal. Once again, 5 o'clock is the throw-in time at Hayley Park. Full live match commentary here on Highland. From 5, I'll be joined by Mark McEwen. We'll also have an extensive build-up to that game as well. Well, it is a beginning of a new era for Tyrone GA this weekend, and one that Red Hand supporters will hope to taste success with. Fergal Logan and Brian Doerr head up the new Tyrone management and will play in their first competitive game in charge on a Saturday. There's big expectation in the county, and Tyrone are already seen as contenders for a possible Ulster title. But the men in charge are not looking any further past the league derby against Donegal this coming weekend. Tom Comack has caught up with Fergal Logan ahead of the much anticipated resume of football.
Hello, Fergal. First of all, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much. Tell me, in terms of being appointed at the end of last year, early this year, and what we're into the fifth month of the year and only getting down to business now, how frustrating has it been over the last few months for you, especially as a new manager?
Yeah, it's just been one of those difficult periods, Tom, but in the sense of the public health emergency that everyone's been living under the shadow of, we've just had to deal with it and bide our time. And in one sense, it's been a very long honeymoon period, and I hope it doesn't come to an abrupt end on Saturday night.
When were you able to get the team together for the very first time, or your squad together?
Well, Tom, really, this past couple or 2 weeks plus tonight, maybe, or plus whatever the date was, you know, we really were in shutdown. We tried to get a look at players just before the lockdown, and it was a very, very small window, and then we just were out of commission right through to very recently. So we've just up and running a week or two here. So listen, it's everybody has now got the bite for it, and sometimes people realise what they're missing and how good it is. So we've hopefully everybody's re-energised and ready to go.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, it wasn't just a matter, I'm sure, of just leaving the players to their own devices. There was programmes and training schedules set in place. I know most counties worked off Zoom or other forms of communication for meetings and following team progress or individual progress.
Yeah. Well, the whole world adapted to digital connectivity, Tom, as you know. So, you know, there were all sorts of methods invoked to try and keep a link when you couldn't meet in person. But now we're back this past week or two in person, so it's good to be back together again.
Yeah. Speaking of Declan Bunner earlier today, he was obviously in a similar position. Everybody is. But in terms of he felt that certainly they're only back 3 weeks and it's a probably short enough window. But having said that, he felt they're back in good shape. Is the same with you?
The thing, well, yeah, of course, young fellas nowadays take their fitness very serious. It wasn't like our day when you came to training at the start of January to get fit, and you took a month or two to get yourself into shape or three. Now you're expected to come to club training in good shape, never mind county training. So, you know, young fellas take their fitness serious. And general lifestyle, you know, is more in view for all athletes and footballers. So, you know, you do expect to see them in good shape, and they know it's for their own benefit.
Yeah,
if so they want to stay the course.
Fair to say all the work for the last couple of weeks since you returned has been on ball work, I presume.
Yeah, it's all ball work nowadays. So we're at least when you get back onto the field and you're able to go at it, you want to maximise your time, you know.
And have you got worked on strategies yet or styles? We know that Tyrone kind of adopted a pretty defensive or somewhat defensive, you know, style. Maybe overstated at times, but you're known to, especially with that under-21 team from, what, 5-6 years ago, play a more expansive game.
Well, if I wasn't chatting to Donegal's radio station, Highland Radio, I might get into that with you, Tom. I'll not bother going there yet, and we'll see what happens. But listen, there's so many adapted styles nowadays and different phases of games for different things. So listen, let's just hope we bring a bit of enjoyment back into everybody's lives and homes, and hopefully back into crowds soon all across Ireland. And we hope to play our part in it, but we know it's a massive challenge, generally speaking, to never mind getting to Saturday evening's events. Yeah. So we just hope to play our part, and hopefully we can get everybody back in the enjoyment mode and get on with it.
Do you detect a change of attitude of players towards maybe the game? Maybe appreciate it more? Maybe appreciate what they were missing more?
Yeah, I think Tom, generally all of us now should take the simple things in life that we did take for granted, should take them with a bit more respect now, because even going in for a cup of coffee with somebody was ruled out there. So, you know, absence can make the heart grow fonder, and the players generally are, I'm sure, feel are glad to be back out playing football, and sometimes it can get tedious, and sometimes the higher up the ladder you go, the more intense it gets and the more pressured it is. So, you know, there's a bit of a free spirit about it, and people appreciating being back out playing football together, and hope it stays with us for a long time.
Obviously, filling big shoes, obviously, Mickey Hart, you know, his record speaks for itself. A lot of expectation now in Tyrone, always has been, even in your own time, but I suppose that that expectation is even higher now.
Oh, undoubtedly. Mickey was a brilliant servant of Tyrone football right through a couple of decades and more there. So, listen, of course, we know it's big shoes, and you know, there's a couple of us, Brian and myself, and we have Joe and Colly and Peter, and we have a team of people in behind us all helping and pushing it, hopefully, the one direction. So, you know, we just have to do our best and try and honour the tradition that is Tyrone football. That's fairly deep. It is very deep-rooted around these parts, and see where it takes us, you know. I'm old enough to remember way back to all the managers from the 70s, so you know, everyone had put their shoulder to the wheel, and everybody does a lot for Tyrone football and GAA generally, and it's a privileged position, Tom, but it's one you want to respect and honour and push forward.
Overall, before we look at the league, what do you make of the format? It's very congested, and obviously very much in your case, or in your group's case, very much Ulster-orientated.
Yeah, well, you know, Ulster is competitive, and it's difficult opposition from the get-go and right through Monaghan, Armagh, and, you know, so it can get a bit claustrophobic at times, but, you know, I suppose it's a needs must with the public health emergency, and we just have to get on with it. But it definitely is a cutthroat league, and foreshortened and put in cut in half, basically. So it's not ideal for new management, but that's life.
Yeah. Warm-up competition, really, for the championship, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you might say that, Tom, but at this moment in time, I'll not be, and Brian will not be looking beyond next Saturday, I don't think. So we're just in the mode for one game at a time here, so we'll not be thinking any competition ahead of the one that's in front of us.
In terms of a squad, have you finalised a squad yet?
Well, squads are always movable feasts around county panels when you consider injuries and form and stuff. So obviously there's a press on at the moment with all the registrations and regulations, and then the in-house or the starred games in county. So we're working on all that. It's been a very, very short period, and it's very difficult and sometimes unfair to young fellas when they don't, you know, they've had 2 weeks to sort of print themselves on it. So everything is a bit of a movable feast, Tom, and we'll see how it all goes at this stage.
Yeah, and in terms of goals and ambitions for the league, what would you like to get out of this year's league?
Well, we'll start by performing on Saturday night, Tom, and that's as far as we'll look at this stage and see where we get to.
That is Tyrone joint manager Fergal Logan. Elsewhere in the Football League this coming weekend, Derry start life in Division 3 again with a tie against Longford. That is in Division 3 North, also on Saturday at 5 o'clock. Promotion to Division 2 is priority for Derry, and a win in their opening game this weekend is seen as hugely important given the shortened regionalised league format. Derry boss Rory Geller says it's exciting to be back training and playing, but he knows that they'll have to get off to a good start.
Honestly, Oisin, it's been brilliant. It's been really enjoyable, really exciting. We have a great energy looking forward to it. I imagine every county setup was the same. The hunger and desire to get back out playing has been huge, but you know, as well as that, there's been a sharp focus in what's going to be a really competitive league for ourselves, and one that we very much want to get out of, and that means we need to obviously try to hit the ground running, you know, and there's a wee bit of pressure there, which is good too.
Yeah, is the wee bit of pressure there that you have to win your first game, Rory?
Yeah, I suppose it's not really a situation where there's much margin for error. and beating Longford and coming up the road with 2 points would give us a great opportunity. You'd imagine 2 wins should get you into a semi-final. But we know Longford are sticky opposition. We played them last year, and you know, the focus is on getting a really, really good performance, which I believe if we do that, we have the quality of player that should be able to get us a result.
Obviously, it's a young Derry squad that you have, Rory. When you took on the job, you changed a lot of things about and brought in quite a few younger players. As you head into your second year now as Derry manager, has there been some coming and goings in the squad, has there?
There's been very little of either, Oisin. You know, we kind of spent the break in the first lockdown from March to September, taking a good hard look at our squad and backing team. We made a huge amount of changes to both. There's a few players are gone. You know, Carlos McWilliams, unfortunately, his dad Hugh passed away, who had been a great sponsor, great supporter, so Carlos wasn't able to commit. And apart from that, we have Gareth McInnes back, and you know, we have a squad that we want. You know, we're disappointed to lose Carlos, but very much delighted to have Gareth back involved, and obviously Conor Glass has fitted back in. And we have Ciarán McCaig's back fit after having Achilles tendon problem surgery last July or August. So we have a really fit and vibrant squad at the minute.
You had limited time with the likes of Conor Glass last year when he came back, but he'll be more into the stream of things again with Gaelic football. I watched him as a minor when he played against Donegal for Derry. He's a very, very impressive footballer, so he is, Rory.
Yeah, listen, when he came back, Oisin, you know, I think he might have trained once before we threw him on against Longford. We started him in the Offaly League game and the Armagh Challenge game. We kind of, it was a free hit in a lot of ways. We felt promotion was going to be, even though we won our two games, was going to be very hard to get. And we wanted Conor to get the experience, and he's got that. And then, naturally, he hasn't maybe had as much contact time with the group as you'd normally get due to COVID, but he's really, really pushed on. We're very much, you know, I suppose, delighted to have him available for the middle of the field, which has been a problem area for us, and there's no doubt he'll be playing on Saturday evening.
Yeah, well, take a few more competitive games maybe for him to get into the stream of things. Do you feel he's at where he should be now, Rory?
I believe he's at a very good level. I believe he definitely will improve the longer he's home and the longer he's training collectively. But I believe, you know, he's looked after himself really well, obviously, during lockdown. He's got professional experience as well, and his ball skills have improved. They were obviously a bit rusty when he came back. So, look, I expect him to hit the ground running and provide the type of leadership we need around the middle of the field.
Yeah. I suppose one of the finds last year for you, Rory, was your goalkeeper, Oran Lynch, and you'll be looking maybe for him to continue with his progression and his involvement within the game this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Oisin, you know, would have earmarked him from early on. He's been a huge talent. You know, I think obviously, you know, in Ulster alone with Sean Patton, Niall Morgan and Rory Began, they're three top-class keepers, but I believe Ord is a similar type of keeper. You know, he's a former outfield player with a really, really silky kind of skill set as well, but his kicking ability and his ability in the air is outstanding, and I believe he can be a massive addition for us.
Yeah, you made a host of championship debuts last year in the game against Armagh, Rory. Is there any more debutants expected this weekend or over the course of the next number of weeks?
No. I don't expect too many, to be honest. One of the things that we've been very clear on, we want consistent selection. We feel that, you know, in previous times and even early on in my tenure, there was far too much chopping and changing of squads and teams. There'll be 12 or 13 players who we know who are earmarked to play and play very, very regularly. So they are. There's another 7 or 8 or 9 competing for the next number of places with game time and starting and one thing or another. We've a couple of players maybe didn't play as much, you know, in the championship last year. Shea Downey, who played league, and Jack Doherty, who are back fully fit, they'll obviously come into the equation. But as for new blood, no, we'll be going with what we had from last year.
Longford again, as we say, this coming weekend. What sort of game are you expecting on Saturday, Rory? Because obviously you played them last year and they beat them by 6 points.
Yeah, it's hard to know, Oisin. You know, they like most teams would get men behind the ball, and I know they have a number of key personnel back as well. You know, Robbie Smith's a player would have come across, you know, both with Donegal and Fermanagh. He's very, very sharp up front. Mickey Quinn's back that didn't play last year. So, look, we're not exactly sure what's going to come out of the blocks from them, which makes it even more important that we just have to look after ourselves and bring the right sort of intensity and desire and calmness all in one, you know.
Yeah, and you've the Ulster champions to deal with this year as well in the league, so you have, Rory.
Yeah, Ulster champions, and if we meet teams from the other side, which I'm sure we could end up playing the Munster champions, it's almost crazed, and in the crazed year or 18 months of COVID now, and the way it's impacted sport, we see how it has impacted massively. You know, even in the Premier League, which we watch a lot of the home form, it's just hard to know what to expect.
We'll be talking about the championship, obviously, again at a later date and depth, Rory. But when it comes to championship, where do you want Derry football sitting, Rory?
Well, that's a good question, Austin, because it might be an obvious answer that you want to see them sitting in Division 2. But people mentioned the championship, and despite two Division 3 teams this year being provincial champions, I don't generally feel that that's the norm. I believe for Derry to be serious Ulster Championship contenders, they've got to get out of Division 3 this year. We do that, I see no reason to fear anybody, and you can take on the Donegals, Tyrones, Monaghans, or whoever it is then. But until we earn that right, I don't think we've any business talking about being Ulster champions. So that's kind of a mini challenge that we have ourselves. We've got to do the business now, starting on Saturday, and move on through the league.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Rory, and the best of luck at the weekend.
No bother, Oisín, thanks.
So, a big weekend of Gaelic Games action ahead for the North West Counties. Finally, the motorsport family will say farewell to former international rally clerk of the course, Danny Gormley, tomorrow. Danny's death has sent shock through the rallying community of the Northwest. He was a former clerk of the course of the Donegal International Rally, while he has also headed up the roles of treasurer, safety officer, timekeeping and marshalling in many events for Donegal and indeed the Maiden City Motor Club. Tributes have been paid since his passing on Monday, where he was described as a gentleman of Irish rallying. And among those to pay tribute was Donegal Motor Club chairman Brian Brogan.
That's a very, very sad day for Donegal Motor Club, and we have to send our condolences to Elizabeth, Danny's partner for many years, and all Danny's family and friends at this sad time. This is a big shock for all in motorsport in Donegal and all throughout Ireland, to be honest with you. And Danny Gormley was a huge inspiration to motorsport and Donegal Motor Club for years, and his own Maiden City. He managed and controlled everything that went on there, and there was no event in Donegal that Danny wasn't involved in some shape or form. And Danny was a great people's man. When he came into the room, he had that way with him that he could talk to everybody, regardless of who they were, and they always had an interest in people's well-being and how you were doing and how you were getting on with this. And he would have ploughed his own furrow, really, in his own way. Whatever task he was doing for an event, he would have had that done and completed. And then he would go around the room and ask everybody else how they were doing and find out how they were doing. And without really getting into it, if there was anything he thought that needed to be done, he would get on the phone afterwards and dictate them that this had to be done and that had to be done. Hey, and that's the way Danny looked after the thing. He was looking after all the chores because he had that experience over the years. He knew how every role had to be done and how it should be done, and he liked to carry it out for the team as much as himself. Danny would have taken it from the bottom up, and he liked to do the debrief afterwards to say that everything was right, and if there was something wrong, you would have heard what was wrong with Danny too.
Yeah, Danny obviously had numerous roles, from marshalling, looking after the marshals, right up to timekeeping. But obviously, when you become part of a committee and you want to be part of an organising event, the clerk of the course is one which a lot of people hope they can get to, because away from the stars who are in the cars, it's all down as well to the people that organise it. When you become COC, you're basically head of everything, so you are, Brian. And Danny was very, very, I suppose, suited to that role. He was COC, and in recent years he was Eamon McGee's right-hand man. And the way he worked that role was obviously part of the success of the International Rally.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And Danny was COC for 6 years. And remember, if you're COC for Donegal International Rally, it's the biggest event in Europe, you'd say, for the task and the work that goes into it over 3 days, and the number of people you're dealing with, over 200 vehicles. And there's a lot of responsibility with that. And Danny carried responsibility very well. He was very, very capable of doing things and very, very capable of dealing with serious issues. And he also could have went in and sat at the fire with somebody, and if he was doing PR and had the crack with him and got on very well with everyone, because he just had a love for Donegal. He's supposed to be from Donegal, and he had that passion, and he was very highly involved in everything that would have happened in the county, and knew all about every sport too, Oisín. He would have been very interested in all going on around him and very knowledgeable. He'll be sorely missed now. He'll be sorely missed by Donegal Motor Club for sure.
Yeah. And one of the events that he had huge pride in, that he looked after so well and ended up winning awards, was the hill climb in the month of September. And really, that was a gem of Danny's, wasn't it?
Yeah, and later years, Danny would have crystallised the hill climb and had won more awards than anywhere else in Ireland at that point. And he still had huge pride in it up till the end there, and he would have still dictated everything that happened in it. But down to even marshals, timekeepers, stewards, anybody that was there, they all knew Danny, but he had a great way with him where he could have come in and spoke to everybody. It didn't matter how well you were dressed or anything else. He would have dealt with you and appreciated you and thanked you for being there, for doing the bit. And look forward to seeing you the next day. He was always thinking about the next day too. He always thought ahead and worked ahead. And he always wanted to leave the place back the way he got it. Like, so he was a great man for the beginner and a great man for the men at the back of the field. He was a great club man. And he would always say to me, and it always has been happening in Donegal Motor Club, it's a case that he would say, you know, the top 10 doesn't run the rally, he says. We need 150 to make this pay. And that is a fact, and it has proven to be a fact. And Danny was always a great man for the numbers, and throughout all of the budgets that would be happening in Donegal Motor Club, Danny would have held every one of those in high regard and would have been down to tell you, if it's not working out here, something needs to be done. He'd be a great man to correct me and keeping you right.
Yeah. Danny will be laid to rest on Friday in Rafoe, and there's going to be no international rally this year, Brian, but at some stage down the line, you guys in the motor club and those involved in the international will be able to mark the life and celebrate the life of Danny.
That's right. As was in these times, with restrictions and that, we don't know really what's happening in the world of motorsports the second part of the year. There may be and there may not be at this point, but there's no doubt if anything does happen that Danny will be at the fore, and we've spoke about that in the last few days and about the type of person that Danny is. He always liked to get everybody together, and he always liked to mark people that had passed before, and he was a great man about talking about people that would have been there with us that have sadly passed, and about what they'd done and what they would have said. And he was a great character, great, great character.
That's Donegal Motor Club Chairman Brian Brogan speaking on the passing of Danny Gormley. And that's it from another edition of The Score for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore will have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. For me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online at michaelmurphysports.ie.